Excellent. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we've had over the last couple of weeks has been pretty extraordinary in the life of our small but humble community, where we've had, of course, for the Gethins, the passing of two of the dads in the family in the space of 4 days, and that's the grandfather of Angela and Joshua. Steve's dad and Jen's dad both passing away in that short period of time. We've had a tremendous wedding, and that wedding was such a beautiful occasion yesterday. And as Chris mentioned, just so much joy in the room, and it was wonderful too, the fact that there was such a strong community presence at not only at the wedding itself, but at the reception too, and that was such a blessing. But we've also got the baptism of Tobias next Sunday coming up, and that's going to be such a powerful experience for Tobias, though he may not realise it, but gee, for the rest of us, we know just what that's all about, don't we, and a gift that is. But also, you know, we've got the Reeds expecting their baby in a month or so, and it made me sort of think of a movie that's being made new, that's coming out, or probably has come out, called The Lion King. That's right, I could hear that whispered somewhere, The Lion King. And there is a song in The Lion King that sort of makes me think about all the stuff that's been going on. What's that famous song? Well done, Mark Ratajczak. He's showing his age there, because all the young ones haven't seen The Lion King yet, because it's... Okay. Amanda's going, what? But you're 21, Amanda. You're old now. Come on. So there you go. So anyway... okay, there you go. So the idea was that none of the young ones, very young, would have known what The Lion King was about. But there's that song, The Circle of Life, in there. And we could sort of get wrapped up in the fact that the circle of life is you get born, you go through your life, you get married, you have children, or you become consecrated to the Lord, right, and then you die. And as someone once said to me, is that it? Do you know, and we know in this room that that's not it. So if you don't mind, Chris, if we can go to the next slide, I just want to read out a scripture passage for you. And it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you've got your electronic devices or your Bible, and you'll notice that I don't have my Bible with me today, the reason I don't is because I gave a talk last week and I left my Bible behind. So I'm waiting for it to be returned, and I think it's coming tomorrow. So in the meantime, I'm going to the electronic version. So it goes something like this. Now I'm reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I've preached to you. And of course, this is St. Paul speaking to the Corinthians, which you indeed received, and in which you also stand or sit. Through it, you are also being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless, of course, you believed in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins, in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born abnormally, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them. It's an interesting boast by St. Paul there, isn't it? That he's toiled harder than most of them. In fact, it says all of them. Not I, however, but the grace of God is with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach and you believed. But if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some among us say there is no resurrection? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then empty too is our preaching. Empty too is our faith. Then we are all false witnesses to God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised at all. For if the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is in vain. You are still, unfortunately, in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have indeed not fallen asleep. They have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are the most pitiable of all people. The circle of life is actually a fallacy. The circle of life doesn't have a beginning and an end. For us, for you and me, brothers and sisters, for those of us who claim to have Jesus at the center of their life, for those of us who in this room claim to be Christian at all, the resurrection of the body is vitally important. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is actually the be-all and end-all. You see, we proclaim not a historical Jesus, we proclaim an everlasting Jesus. We proclaim a Jesus who is alive not only in our minds, but he's alive in our hearts, and he is alive, brothers and sisters, each time we go to that Mass. And we see, as Jackie proclaimed to us in a prophetic word this afternoon, we see the flesh and blood of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive. And he's alive in you and me. And when we greet one another, we're actually greeting Jesus Christ in each other. And how we treat one another is really important, because people will either see that we honour Jesus or we desecrate Jesus. How do we see Jesus in our lives? And this is important, because we don't live for the here and now. Because if we live for the here and now, we'd actually give in to all of those selfish desires that want to catch you. All of those selfish desires that want to actually make you fat in spirituality. I'm sorry, Tobias, did I just wake you up? Yeah. Pope Francis talks to you and me regularly, and I think that some of his messages are very, very profound. And he talks about the fat Christian, and he's not talking about the overweight humanity. He's talking about the fat Christian that's slothful, that sits in their chair or in their pews and does everything from their chair in regards to their Christianity. And Pope Francis is actually saying, get out your boots, put them on, and get them dirty. Get out into the field and proclaim the risen Jesus. He's also saying to you and I, those of us who are charismatic, about 120 million people, those of us who are charismatic, he said 2 weeks ago, which he repeated from a year ago, take the baptism of the Spirit and take it to the streets so that every person has the opportunity of being made new in the Spirit, the living Spirit. The living Spirit only because Christ is alive. And His Spirit will make everyone who encounters the Spirit, the baptism in the Spirit, His Spirit will make you and I alive. And His Spirit will make all those who are yet to encounter the risen Christ, His Spirit will make them alive too. So this is important because we don't just live life for those great occasions of weddings and funerals and baptisms. We live life because we know we will spend eternity with one another. And in our sharing group the other day, one of the brothers said to me, you know, there's a person that, you know, said to us, there's a person that I'm struggling with and I'm just reminded all the time that I'm going to spend eternity with them. So what am I doing about that relationship right now? Isn't that a powerful thought? I'm going to spend eternity with you. What's my relationship like with you? Thanks, Chris. We can move on. So, Jez, do you recognize this image? That's where Jez has just been. Did you do the whole lot, Jez? Where did you start from? Is that the whole lot there? That's the whole, wow. That's what Jez did the week before last. Spent 5 weeks. 5 weeks walking, and we're going to hopefully hear from Jez at some stage telling us a little bit about his experiences of being on pilgrimage there. Very powerful. And the reason I've got this image up is because I was reflecting on just what's been going on in the life of members in this area. What's been going on in our lives, and I couldn't neglect what Jez has been experiencing. Because as Jez has been going on his pilgrimage, he's been praying for you and I. Haven't you? And every day since, of course, yes. Right? He was praying for you and I as he was struggling through all of his journey there with the blisters that he experienced. But I wanted to express to you just what Pope Benedict says about the Christian pilgrimage. He says this: to go on pilgrimage is not simply to visit a place to admire its treasures of nature, art, or history. To go on pilgrimage, and Jez knows all about this, right? To go on pilgrimage really means to step out of ourselves in order to encounter God, where He has revealed Himself, where His grace has shone with particular splendor and produced rich fruits of conversion and holiness among all those who believe. Above all, Christians go on pilgrimage to the Holy Land, to the places associated with the Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. They go to Rome, the city of martyrdom of Peter and Paul, to Compostela, which is associated with the memory of St. James, which has welcomed pilgrims from throughout the world who desire to strengthen their spirit, Jez. To strengthen their spirit with the apostles' witness of faith and love. And there's an appendix to this that I just want to add. And pilgrims will travel to the Pearsall Hocking Community Centre because there they will find God revealing himself to amazing people. Gosh, Pope Benedict, how did he know? To amazing people. Because God's grace shines with particular splendor, producing amazing rich fruit, showing the conversion and holiness that can abide in the northern suburbs of the city of Perth. Pope Benedict, you are amazing. As the people there strengthen their spirit through a witness of faith and love. And they welcome pilgrims who are willing to go on a journey of discovery. Our hearts are open to the pilgrims that visit us. Thank you to the Kirks who visited us all the way from Canberra. Thank you to Anthony for coming back from Kalgoorlie to be among us. And to find his way here, all the way from Kalgoorlie there, 6 hours, six, no, 4 hours. 7 hours, 7 hours, okay, 7 hours. So brothers and sisters, God has shown his splendor in us, not just through the circle of life and the major events, but God has shown his splendor in us in the everyday. He has shown in you and in me an incredible love, a love that is being shone through our marriages, those of us who are married here. He's showing his splendor and his love in the vitality of youth, all those young people in the room, and he's showing his splendor and his love in the gift of our children. Yesterday it was abundantly clear when Father CJ preached his homily that Jono and Rebecca's union is not a union for themselves. It is a union for the world. And they will live in the northern suburbs of the city of Perth. So their union is going to be a blessing for all of those houses that we every week look upon and bless. Pilgrimage. People are going to make their way to that door. Are we going to welcome them with the joy of the Lord? Thanks, Chris, if you don't mind. Last week, we heard what I thought was one of the most amazing preachings that we've experienced here in the north. And we were blessed by Chris, who comes from the south community. And he spoke on passion. Do you remember that? He spoke on passion. If you haven't heard it or seen it, actually the video is really good. Where's Kieran? Kieran, you did a great job capturing the opening scenes of that preaching. If you've seen it, if you haven't seen it, go onto the video because it's there to see with all its splendor and passion. And Chris spoke about how if we're not feeling it, and I think I might have heard that either from Steve or from Chris today, as he was leading us in our praise time, to know that if we've lost some of that passion for what it means to be a lover of Jesus. What it means to be a Jesus freak. Have you heard that before? Right? If we've lost some of that passion, or if we've lost the passion simply to love, then Chris Hayes last week reminded us to pray the prayer of David, where we should be crying out to the Lord to renew in me your spirit, to create in me a clean heart, to come before the Lord and ask him to do something anew in us. Now, when does that happen? To have something made anew in us? Well, I want to tell you, each time I come into company with you, something new happens within me. And I know that that's not just because of your humanity. As awesome as your humanity is, just look at Chris Brennan. How good is that humanity? Don't you reckon he looks pretty good? Hey, I think he looks great. Do you know? He's inspired me to look good too, actually, with all of his running and things. But he looks fantastic, but so does everybody else in this room. Your humanity is amazing, but it's not just your humanity that does something to renew me. It's actually your spirituality that does something. And I don't know if Karen and the young ones in the room, you know, Sarah and Sean, who are here from Canberra, and if, do you know, Anthony, you feel this, but when you walk in to this space, there is something very homely about it. I notice this when I travel to different locations of the community. Anybody been to other locations of the community? Put up your hand if you have. Did you feel at home when you went to those locations of the community? You didn't, Ratters. Really? Okay, so here's an exception to the rule. Everybody else, did you feel at home? Right? Did you feel at home in those other locations? Now, the reason we feel at home, even though you may not... What's that? No place like... Hang on, I'll just click my heels. No place like home, no place like home. Right? But the reality is this. It's actually our spirituality. It's the Spirit of God alive in us that makes us feel at home. Do you know, I saw a short video of Prime Minister Scott Morrison at the Hillsong Conference earlier in the week. And as soon as he started to speak, and it wasn't actually speaking, he was preaching. As soon as he started to preach, my heart leapt. Why? Because his spirituality was in union with me. His love for Jesus Christ made the spirit within me rejoice. And that's why when we see one another, when we're together with each other, we are renewed. Do you know, somebody was telling me that on Sundays, there's all sorts of things that happen. Who was that? Somebody was telling me. Steve Proud was telling me, actually, he dropped his daughter off to a birthday party, and he was telling me about how amazing it looks when there's so many people doing things on a Sunday afternoon, right? But he did say it's nowhere as good as being here on a Sunday because we share spirituality. We also heard last week, and I'm just going to pull it up, a prophetic word that went, I think, with Chris's preaching. It was actually a prophetic word given by, was it you, Jackie? I think. I'm going to read it out. Oh, it was Annabelle. Sorry, it was Annabelle. So Annabelle's prophetic word was this. As Saint Mother Teresa said, God doesn't call us to be successful. God calls us to be faithful. God calls us to battle. Rely on His power at all times. You are helpless without Him. He's calling us to take a risk and to do things differently. And I kept thinking, it wasn't me kept thinking, Annabelle kept thinking. And Annabelle kept thinking, no guts, no glory. We need to face the battle and not run away from it. And that was Annabelle's prophetic word. Now, when Annabelle presented that last week, I took notice, and I don't know if anybody else did, but I took notice. And I know there's probably at least four or five other people in the room who would have taken notice too. Thanks, Chris, if you don't mind. Because 2 weeks ago, we called for a meeting for anybody interested in the Life in the Spirit seminar that's going to occur in August. And I think the reason that the five people or six people who were at that meeting, was it six people maybe? Eight people. Well, thanks. My maths is really bad. Right, eight people who were at that meeting, the reason they're ears would have pricked at what Annabelle had shared, and Annabelle wasn't at the meeting, was because the meeting was all about whether we could take a risk and do the Life in the Spirit seminar differently. Rather than the Thursday nights, to do something different for us in the north. And what we were thinking and praying through and discerning, and we want to ask you now to discern with us, is whether we will do the Life in the Spirit seminar in our gathering. Now that, well, you've got to discern, Anne, don't just clap just yet, right? Right? So it would mean, and whenever you risk something, it means that it comes at a cost. It will mean that we don't get the hour of our praise and worship. It will mean that we can't rock up to gathering at 3:15 or 3:30. It will actually mean for us that it's going to cost us a whole lot, because we have to welcome pilgrims through that door who will most likely arrive before 3:00. And we have to be ready for them. We have to have a host mentality and a host spirituality that welcomes people through that door ready to be embraced by the love that exists within us because of Christ. It'll cost us. It'll cost us our time. It'll cost us our energy. It'll cost us our praise and worship as we know it. It'll cost us our relationship with each other, because we will have to invest in others first. It will cost us to take this risk, but it will also cost us because we're going to have to be brave and we're going to have to invite. We're going to have to wear Christ not only on our sleeves but on our chest. We're going to have to let Christ beat His way into our heart to love those who are yet to know His Spirit as we do. Thanks, Chris, if you don't mind. We're also going to try, if we can, and if the discernment is this way, we're going to actually try and make it easier to invite people to the Life in the Spirit seminar. And the reason we're going to do that is because most of us in this room know that when we go up to someone and say to them, oh, would you like to come to a Life in the Spirit seminar? They all go, huh? What's that? It sounds a bit holy. And so instead, what we're going to do, if we think as a community that we should do this, is we're going to run a two-part series prior to the Life in the Spirit seminar beginning. And it will be called something like Home. Something like it. And it'll be run by our relationship experts, Derek and Karen Boylan. And they have prepared this for, it's actually a four-week program. They're going to condense it into two. And it will be simply about how to love in our homes. It won't be packaged in any way around a Christian message. Right? We won't promote it as a Christian message, though, of course, Christ will be at the centre of it. The idea is that every single one of us in this room know people who would like to experience more love in their families, more love in themselves, more love in their workplace, more love in their relationships. And we think that this will be a much easier event to invite friends to, or even colleagues, or even acquaintances. The reason we think this will be easier is because it's going to be hard to get people to come here for a Life in the Spirit seminar, but it'll be easier to get people to come for something all about love. And so we want to help with you. We'll help you with invitation. But the other thing that we want to do, if we can, is we want to encourage you in your prayer. Whether you believe we should do the Life in the Spirit seminar on a Sunday or not, that we've got to be ready for the Life in the Spirit seminar coming anyway. And so as part of your discernment, I would like to encourage you to take on, thanks Chris, the 5 for 5 strategy. Now the 5 for 5 is there for you. You can take a photo of it if you like, or write it down, or whatever it is, right? And this is what I'm going to ask you to do in preparation for the Life in the Spirit seminar, which starts in the middle of August. Number one, pray for 5 people who could do with knowing Jesus better. Pray for 5 people. Now, you'll need to write their names down somewhere on a prayer list. And you need to be able to take that prayer list with you into your daily prayer. Pray for 5 people for 5 minutes each day for 5 weeks. 5 minutes for 5 weeks, 5 people, if you can. Number two, contact them once a week over the next 5 weeks. Contact them. Send them a text message, group chat message if you need to, get on the phone. Invite them into your home, maybe. But contact them. Even if you're just saying, hi, you're in my thoughts, just thinking about you. Send them a message. Now, the young people in the room here, whether you're a teenager or a young adult, I want you to do this. I want you to think of people who could be blessed by Jesus in a way that they're not blessed right now. That's you too, Naomi. I can see you looking at me. Can you see her looking at us, Naomi? She's lesson two, right? She's going to work. Is she lesson two or turn two? Almost three. Oh, my gosh. Lesson three. So I told you my maths was bad. All right, number three. Talking about three. Bless them in some way over the next 5 weeks. Bless these people in some way. Now, blessing them could be get them to your house, cook them a meal. Joshua's really good at this, cooking them the meal, right? Take them out. If you don't know how to cook, maybe, you know, shout them a coffee. Bring them the cluster tea on Tuesday nights. We probably need a cluster tea in the northern area too, actually, by the way, at some stage, right? But bless them in that way. Send them a card or whatever, right? But bless them, not just contact them. Bless them, right? Once in 5 weeks. So that means you've got five people. So that means one person 1 week, one person the next week, one person the third week, and so on for 5 weeks. So bless them in a special way. And then, number four, invite them. Invite them. Invite them to the home series. Invite them to any celebration that goes on, whether that's your own celebrations at home or whether it's a wedding that we're going to or a baptism that you're going to. Invite them to a celebration, a 40th birthday party. Wait a minute. Oh, yes. Anyway, I don't know why that came to my head, but it came to my head. Right. Any celebration, invite them. The reason we have to invite them is because that's often the hardest thing to do. The first three are really easy. The fourth is hard. Invite them. And as we get closer to the home series, we'll give you some information, some brochures, some flyers that you can use to invite people to. And then finally, number five, when the opportunity comes, and Chris mentioned this today, when the opportunity comes, share faith. But I am stressing, when the opportunity comes, don't Bible bash. When the opportunity comes. So Chris mentioned, for those who are here early enough to hear what he said, Chris said that he was asked how come he was looking so joyful at work. And Chris, instead of saying, oh, do you know, I had a prayer time or I was at the gathering, he actually said, what did you say? Something like, I had six cups of coffee. And he shared that with us because he was encouraging us to do number five. Oh, poor man. Right, to do number five, which is when the time is appropriate, share faith. How come you're looking so good? Oh, because I go for a walk every morning and I listen to praise and worship. What's praise and worship? They're songs about God. Do you know? And it does something for my spirit so my physical body looks better as a result. Right? Whatever it is, take the opportunity to share faith. Now, why do we do this? Because if you're not going to share Jesus with people, when somebody opens the door to that, you're not going to invite them to Jesus. You're not going to do it. You see, we have to practice the art of invitational ministry. We have to practice that art. And the only way we can practice that art is by having conversations about Jesus when it's appropriate to do so. For those people who are going on the fire weekend, and the fire weekend is that next weekend? Two weekends away, you better get onto this. Do you know you've got five people to get to in about 14 days? Isn't it the 28th, 27th and 28th? 2 weeks' time, right? So you guys, you've got to do this in a very quick fashion. So you've got to do five in 15 days or 14 days, right? Because the fire weekend is not just for you young people in the room. The fire weekend is actually for people to encounter Jesus Christ. So you've got to get friends to go to it, right? Your acquaintances. And then that will help you invite them to the home series and to life in the spirit. Here's a challenge for the young adults, and it's just come to me, I don't know, it might be prophetic, right? Can the young adults in the north beat the young adults in central and the young adults in south with the numbers of people who are coming who are not in community? There's a challenge for you. Free beer and lunch, if you can, for all of you in the north at my house. All right? Oh, he's heard that. Whoops, it's south. Right? It's on. That's right. It's on. Right? So here's the point. It's not life as they know it. Brothers and sisters, let's get this right. It's not life as they know it. It's not life as they out there in those homes who do not know Jesus Christ. It's not life as they know it. It is life as we know it. And what we have is worth sharing. In fact, it's part of the Great Commission. We have to share it. We have to share Jesus Christ. So next week, what we're going to do is Derek and Karen are actually going to give to us a synopsis of their home series. Now, the reason they're going to do that for us is so that you are absolutely aware of what you're inviting people to. You've got a taste of it so that you can be passionate, like Chris Hayes asked you to be last week. You can be passionate about what you're inviting people to, so that they will be blessed by you. They will be blessed by you as we put into practice five for five. Okay? So let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you and praise you for the gift of faith, the faith in the resurrected Jesus. For if this is not true, then all that we do is folly. But we have faith in the resurrected Jesus, which means that Jesus is alive in us today, that Jesus is alive in us tomorrow, and he'll be alive in us for the next 5 weeks and the next 3 months and the next 5 years, and he's going to be alive in us for all eternity. And we want to spend eternity with each other, Lord Jesus. We want to be with you in the present and for all eternity. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would convict us of the five people that you want us to be praying for 5 minutes every day for 5 weeks, who need you. Jesus, remind us. Help us to even use technology to put a reminder in our phones right now to pray for these five people. Lord God, we pray too that you would aid us in our discernment as a community, that over the next 7 days we will make a decision as a community here whether we will present the Life in the Spirit seminar that will cost us and will be risky for us because we're going to have to invest in so many ways, that we will make a decision corporately as to whether we do this on a Sunday or not. Aid us in our discernment. Lord, we pray that we would be truly on mission to welcome the pilgrim into our midst and provide for them a home for their journey. We make this prayer in your name, Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless everybody.